Well, there's no other way to start our podcast, Body, with the awful news a couple of days ago with what happened with Kobe Bryant and his daughter, Gigi. I was a long weekend. I still go back in time and you remember those times of life when certain things happen, and this is going to be one of them. It was such sad news, and a great one's been lost, Body.
Absolutely, and I'm the same. When I heard the news on Monday morning, I was just shocked and dumbfounded and numb for quite some time, because, look, sporting heroes grow old and pass away. But at 41, and a helicopter accident, loss of his daughter in the same tragedy, and seven other people, it's mind-boggling. And the reaction across the NBA, across Los Angeles, across the United States, across the world, has been phenomenal. It really has been. And it's a shame that it's in a man's passing that he doesn't actually get to see how much the world loved him.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I got a 14-year-old daughter, and Gigi was 13, you know, loves her sport. I saw a little thing on one of the Twitter feeds or something that came out, and Kobe Bryant was on one of those night shows, you know, with Kane and O'Brien or whatever it was. And he was saying, and, you know, big smile as Kobe does, and he was saying that, you know, someone was saying to him, whoever it was in LA, oh, man, you got to have boys. You got to get that name passed on. And he said, and Gigi would hear these things, and she would just tap the shoulder and go, hey, I got this. It's okay. And just little things like that, and you could see it beaming. And the thing I love, what I've heard about since Kobe's passing and all the things, is they talk about his competitiveness and one of the greatest players certainly up there in the world to ever play the game, but how much he's been admired since he's finished.
Yes.
Which you don't hear a lot about that for players. You know, you hear, yeah, players retired. You think of all a number of players that have retired that are, you know, at the level he's at. You don't hear a lot about them afterwards. I mean, this guy won an Oscar. He did a short film. He has done so many things, and he has been amazing for the women's league, the WNBA, and his daughter's teams. And, you know, I've seen some posts from Lauren Jackson, Michelle Timms, these guys who it has really hurt them with what's happened for what he's been able to do for women's basketball. And this is a guy that's retired. And that's, to me, just gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, I think he's become a lot more popular in his retirement, because when you're playing, you're a galvanizing figure if you're as good as he is. Mm-hmm. If you're a Lakers fan, you adore him. And if you're a fan of any of the other 29 teams, then you don't.
Think how much Boston Celtics hated him. And exactly. that's just the love of the game that they hate him. So sure. I agree with you, yeah.
Sure. And also, I think he's shown the other side of himself, the lighter side of himself. Now, when he was playing, he was so ultra competitive and so much in pursuit of perfection, and always he knew he had talent, but he wanted to absolutely maximize it. So he was always working extra hard, which you know, is why he and Shaquille fell out when they did. And it was why Dwight Howard couldn't hang around in Los Angeles, because they couldn't cope with the fact that he just wanted them to be as good as they could be as well. And so you get those impressions of him as a player, and then in his post-playing career, you see him in a different light and a much better light. And then you go back and you look back at his history and you go, this was one of the greats. And the manner in which we've lost him is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Well, I also want to let everyone know that the NBL is going to honour Kobe Bryant. The Hungry Jacks NBL will honour himself and his daughter Gigi before each game this round, round 18 we're coming up to in the NBL. What it's going to do is tonight's clash between Melbourne United and Perth is at Melbourne Arena, and there'll be a 24 seconds applause directly before tip-off of that game and every game this round. Obviously, Kobe wore the 24. You know, he's had five NBA championships,
yes,
two NBA finals, a 2008 NBA MVP, 18 All-Stars, 11 All-NBA first teams, won two gold medals. And I know Jeremy Lollinger has come out and said that, you know, he's hugely popular around the world, but in Australia and New Zealand, he's just adored. So congratulations. I think it's the right thing by the NBL to be able to honour him. And I think everyone will feel a part of doing it.
Highlight of the week.
Well, let's talk about highlights of the week, Body. I'm going to start and say the Capitals bouncing back. that was my highlight of the week. I thought they did everything they needed to do, rocketed themselves into, well, equal second or third spot now, it doesn't matter, and they're in.
I'm shocked because I thought the whole thing would for you would be about Southside bouncing back.
Oh, I'm saving them. I'm saving them. We've still got Rosen's Rattler to go yet.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's coming up later in the show, folks. Yeah. My highlight from the women's round was Kelsey Griffin's comeback. I thought that was, you know, it was great to see, and it was great that she did as well as she did in the first game. I think that she was supposed to play 15 minutes. They played her about 20. And the next game, she's got 20 points. So she's quickly back to her best, and which, you know, you'd expect. And, I thought her return was great for the league.
NBL?
NBL, well, I've got to say, Miles Plumlee. I thought his performance, I mean, 23 points, 18 rebounds, a phenomenal personal display, but I was really also happy that the referees shut down their whistles for a while, you know, because they're so whistle happy with big guys. They just can't handle the little bit of jostling and the little body work that big guys do that all centers and power forwards of that size just accept as part of the game. But these referees we have now who will call fouls on screens where somebody bounces off a screen, you know, just the way they call the game is abysmal, let's be honest. But they let the guys play in the Perth New Zealand game, and Plumlee, wow, what a difference he's going to make to that Wildcats championship bid now. I picked Perth to win the championship before the season started when they had Dario Hunt. Now I'm even more confident, to be honest, and I'm really looking forward to his clash with Andrew Bogut. That'll be something.
Well, there's a couple of things that stand out, and we're going to talk about that when we get into the NBL, but that Miles Plumlee, Andrew Bogut thing's going to be great. Sydney and Perth have taken another leap to get away from everyone else. Third and fourth are looking like they could be locked in. And my highlight of the week, I've got to give it to Brisbane. I just have to give it to Brisbane. I think on a 5-game winning streak, there was a lot of questions about them. There was questions about the coaching, about the players, the recruitment, everything. The coach halfway through the year got pushed, left, retired, whatever, from the Australian Boomers team. That would have been really, really hard, but credit's got to go where credit's due, and he has done a tremendous job getting this team a win. Yes, you can say he started to play guys in their right positions and play guys more minutes and less minutes, but the bottom line is they're 13-11. Lamar Patterson is playing MVP-like, and this team is 5-win streak, rocketing into fourth spot. I thought Brisbane were great.
Yep, and I think it's interesting that from the moment Andre stepped away from the Boomers job, there was a couple of weeks there where they sort of hovered around and they didn't, you know, it was sort of like no man's land, and it's almost like, okay, let's go. We're going to win this thing now. Let's focus on NBL. And there's been a point of the season after that decision not to continue on through to the Tokyo Olympics as the national coach where Brisbane has just gotten better and better and better. And I said it, I think it was last week or the week before, that I think it's the fight for fourth is between Brisbane and New Zealand, and it'll probably come down to their game that's coming up in a round or two's time. But that's a good one. Obviously, you took that one because I pinched Miles Plumlee.
Yes, you did. And if anyone didn't pick Miles Plumlee, you'd have to be crazy, or maybe even crazy not to put him as your player of the week. Boom, boom, we'll come back to that, buddy. But they were our highlights of the week.
WNBL wrap time.
Well, we're coming into the last round of the WNBL, and the fourth set, we know, we've spoken about that, buddy. It's all done, and that's easy. Of course, Flyers will finish number one, currently 16-4. The worst they can go is to 5 losses. The Boomers and the Capitals, both on 6 losses. Lightning, done enough. Bad loss on the weekend, but we'll talk about that. 11-8, and they will be fourth. So what we do know is my Southside Flyers will play your Adelaide Lightning in round one. The Brad and Botty Cup. I want to bring it out. Okay. Brad and Botty Cup. Come on, girls.
Don't you bring anything out. You just keep everything nicely tucked away. Now,
now you sound like my wife.
Oh, my God. You've gone there again. Okay. That's the big thing in this round is who's going to get home court advantage between Canberra and Melbourne, because if they should finish on the same win-loss record, Canberra has the advantage because it's won their season series 2-1, which is, I think, the best way to do it. I don't like the overall percentage that's going on in the NBL now. I know that's easier for the public, but here, head-to-head, 3 games, One team's won twice. They're going to get it. So Melbourne obviously must beat Perth, and Canberra obviously must beat Adelaide. So for them to come down to the for it to come down to the wire as it is, I want to pick you up though on what you said that Southside, you know, Adelaide had a bad loss. Bear in mind, Adelaide lost Lauren Nicholson in the warm up, like she had injured her thumb at training on Thursday, and then in the warm up it wasn't that flash, so she didn't place it. I mean, that's someone you're withdrawing a couple of minutes before you're actually walking onto the floor, and is a key player in an Opal. Nat Hurst has had a foot injury all season that they've been monitoring, and I think they decided on Thursday to give her the week off so that she could play this round, because obviously she won 7 championships with the Canberra Capitals, so that'll be a nice place to play her last regular season game. So, and then Catherine Westbell was fouled out in less than 12 minutes of basketball. So I don't think the Adelaide Lightning will come away from that too devastated. From the south side point of view,
the only thing I will say though, 3 of 16 from the 3-point line, yeah. Very un-Adelaide like. I didn't think I'm a fan of Adelaide. I think they've done really well. I thought Turner was great again, but I just expected a little bit more. Actually, I'm not saying that as a negative, and they'll probably come back and beat the
South. It's a positive.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Leani Mitchell, you knew was going to come out and have a game. You just knew that, right? Of course, what happened? She's too good of a player not to. And Rebecca Cole, well, she was dynamite, you know, 10 of 17 or something from the field. So I just thought, you know, they'd be a little bit closer, I guess. But, yeah, fair call, what you're saying. Yeah. Yep.
And honestly, Beck Cole started off like a house on fire and never really stopped. But I couldn't work out for the life of me. I know it wasn't the team scout, but Steph Talbot was going under screens. And if you're going under screens on Beck Cole, you're making a big mistake. So, I think there's a lot to be learned from that game.
Oh, no question Adelaide will bounce back from this, but you look at their stats, 3 of 16 from the 3-point line and 10 of 18 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But he got a lot of minutes into a bunch of players that haven't seen a lot of action.
True.
So I don't think they're devastated. You know,
and neither should they be. They've made the four. If you asked them, you know, 5 weeks ago, you could lose that game and it doesn't matter. You're going to be in the four. They'll be like, great. And, you know, that's also, you know what it's like, buddy. They've played Southside. I know they've got Perth, and we'll talk about that again this week. But then you've got to go against Southside, and there's nothing worse playing a team that you just beat that you've got to play them in a playoff. Because you just know, oh, God, they're going to make changes. They're going to be hungry. The coach is going to do this. So it will be a ripper game. But the four's done. Everyone else is playing. So we start at Brighton Stadium in Sydney. The bottom of the table clash, Sydney versus Bendigo.
Well, this result doesn't really matter, to be honest. No. Because should Bendigo win it, their game against Townsville will probably determine which team finishes in last place. So this, you know, hypothetically, Bendigo could get up to 5 wins on this, and then 6 if it beats Townsville. It's out of the bottom, and Townsville drops. But that's the big one, actually. So this one, I've got Sydney winning this, actually. I think they're...
Yes.
Go on.
Yeah, so do I. And I should correct myself. When I say the bottom, I'm just meaning bottom 4 when I say that. Obviously, yes. Townsville are 7th and Bendigo are 8th. But, I agree. Sydney will win that.
Yep. And in fact, I'm going for all the home teams. I think Adelaide will beat Perth.
Yep.
I think Canberra will beat Adelaide.
Yep.
I think Townsville will beat Bendigo, and that will consign Bendigo to last place. I think Melbourne will beat Perth, and Southside will beat Sydney. And if I'm correct, that would mean that Canberra and Melbourne will finish on 15 and 6 win-loss records, and Canberra will get the home court advantage in the best of 3 semi-final.
Well, as much as I hate to agree with you, I have to. And, you know, I don't like saying that. Yeah, all home teams to win for me. I can't see a team on the road that will. So that means everyone will go out and bet now on all the away teams, because you and I know jack crap. But I will then get your opinion. If we were to start the playoffs, we know Flyers, Lightning, we've said that. Boomers, Capital, we say that, depending on it. Can anyone beat the home teams? Let's just go at it that way. Obviously, we're assuming now Flyers and Capitals get home. Are they the two grand final teams?
No, I don't necessarily think so. I like Canberra to win the series with Melbourne now that Kelsey Griffin is back. I think they win that regardless of whether they have home court advantage or not. I'm actually expecting Adelaide to upset Southside. But, you know, the loss of Jenna O'Hay is massive. I know they just took care of business from one by 12 in the last round when they played, and that was actually not even reflective. They were much better. They were probably 20 points better than Adelaide last week. But that wasn't the real Adelaide. That wasn't their full team. And I saw this situation last season, Brad, when they played Melbourne Boomers, who they had a lot of trouble with in the regular season, and they took them out 2-0 in the semi-finals, much to Melbourne's absolute shock. Now, there's a little bit of a question mark over Lindsay Allen at the moment. She's missed a couple of games with an injury, so I think they're hoping to have her back this week. But, I can actually see a little bit of a fourth seed beating a top seed, and in which case we would have back-to-back Canberra-Adelaide grand final series. Now, I think I believe I'm using my head and not my heart there, Brad.
No, you're not. Don't be crazy. You're not using your heads. Come on, those Flyers. Go, my girls.
Yeah, but I look at the Flyers and I see that they scored 81 points in beating Adelaide, and 77 of those came from the starters. So it's four points off the bench. That's not real huge bench production. And you just need a couple of fouls to go against you, and suddenly you're relying on some people to step up. And, you know, I'm not seeing it. So I think Southside has done a magnificent job. To win the regular season championship is a top effort, and full credit to them. But I think they're vulnerable.
We heard it from the guru. That's the WNBL wrap.
It's NBL wrap time.
Well, I don't think we would have been at this stage of the year in the NBL after what's happened in the last few weeks thinking that the third and fourth spot look like we know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I honestly thought it would come down to the last round, and it still may. You just never know. But what an interesting couple of rounds it's been. And obviously with this round and with what's gone on, Brisbane and Cairns have rocketed into fourth and third spot, respectively. Melbourne, well, they looked awful. So we'll talk about that in a second. Yeah. New Zealand threw everything and the kitchen sink at Perth but couldn't get a win. And how many times have we said that in RAC Arena? And the rest were playing for cattle stations. So I think it was a good round.
It was a great round, but I'm not writing New Zealand off. I know their record is 11-13, the same as Adelaide, and I am writing Adelaide off. So you go, well, what are you, a knucklehead? Possibly. But I think New Zealand losing by a point to Perth in Perth is not a shocking result. And while it brings up their 13th loss, this week they've got Adelaide at home. They should win that. That would bring up their 12th win. Then they're on the road to Illawarra. They should win that. That would bring them back to 13-13. They've got Brisbane coming up. That's the pivotal match as far as I'm concerned. Their match with Brisbane will determine which one of them joins Sydney, Perth and Cairns in the finals. That's what I reckon.
Well, that's a really good point. And Brisbane are at home this week against Melbourne United. And you know that team could come out and score 110 Melbourne and win the game. Yes. So you're 100% right. And what did you call yourself before? You may be a lunatic, did you say? What did you say?
No, that was probably a reference to you. I'm a knucklehead.
So let's make things clear. You are.
Yes.
Okay, so it doesn't matter who you pick, you are. And all our, I think we're up to 11 listeners in our body. 11. No, I've been getting some feedback.
Stop that. You know we're way over that. And not only that, we have got a FIBA Hall of Fame listener in Michelle Timms, one of the absolute greatest of the greats and pioneers of the women's game. I think she was our first player to Europe, first player to the WNBA. Sensational person. She sent me a text the other week saying that she was painting her fence and she listened to our podcast and really enjoyed it and enjoyed the balance that we have with WNBL and NBL. So, I'm very happy with that. So
That's fair. You sure she didn't say listening to you is like watching paint dry? Is that what she said?
No. No, I would have taken offence, but she was painting her fence. So, I've had some people stop me in basketball stadiums and say, hey, I'm one of those people. So, hey, if you've got half a dozen people who have done that and I've got half a dozen, I'm telling you, we're up in the 30s.
Well, no. Yeah. God, I tell you what. And speaking of painting fences, man, didn't she put some hurt on some defences?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Boom, gracious, drop the hey. Mic. Hey.
It's dad joke time, and this is my specialty.
Look, a shout out to Timsy, absolute legend of our game. I remember when I started with the Kings, she was a superstar with the Sydney Flames, and I was a rookie coming through. I don't know if I said two words to her. I was so intimidated with her. She was just like a legend of the game. It was like I was starstruck when I saw her. Brilliant, always lovely. I know, like, I've had dealings with Brian Gorgian as an assistant coach. I know he cannot say enough about her, how great she is, and what an icon to be listening to the Brad and Body podcast.
Yep. And not with the earmuffs.
Yeah. Well, she probably does when I talk, but anyway. Anyway, Knucklehead, let's move on. And let's talk about this week's rounds. Now, it's starting tonight, as we said. Obviously, the Kobe Bryant, great, the honour that's going to be happening, which we mentioned early in the show, so 24-second standing ovation. It's going to start with Melbourne United at home versus Perth. Have United, are they going to be able to do anything?
Look, we've seen the best of United, so we know when they're playing well, they're a championship contender, but we just haven't seen it for so long. And I think I said last week, it's not the fact that they lost games, it's the manner in which they lose them. They had six assists, Brad, six assists against Sydney last week. Now, you know, if you would have hit the floor, you'd have had six assists in any game playing for the Kings. So to play a 40-minute game and your leading assist getter was Melo Trimble with two, it sort of says something about the way they're playing.
I mean, we said it a couple of weeks ago, and you and I have chatted about it a lot. Their body language is terrible. You know they're not a happy group, right? So changes will be made, and I'll tell you, man, I'm interested to know how high the changes are going to go up, because, you know, this is an absolute failure for this team. With the money they spent, the caliber they got, nothing else but a grand final was expected.
No,
and
no,
winning
I'm
it
with you.
Was wanted.
Yep. Yep.
So, anyway, so you're going for Perth?
I think I have to. I think we have to. I mean, that's not ruling out that Melbourne at its best couldn't win that game. But they're just nowhere near their best. So you've got to go with form, and that's Perth.
Yeah, and then Friday night. So, obviously, that tonight's game on Wednesday night. That's at the Tennis Centre with the tennis on. So that's that dual tennis game, which I think is great. Great for the crowds, great for everything. And that could get Melbourne up as well, the energy. But anyway, let's see. Friday night starts with a doubleheader, starts with at Spark Arena. New Zealand to beat Adelaide. Can you see any changes there?
No, I can't. I mean, Adelaide won that one on the siren last time with the Randall basket, Jerome Randall basket. I don't think New Zealand, the way they finished the game against Perth, you know how they blew that last opportunity when Jordan Ngatai had an open shot but thought, no, maybe it shouldn't be me, gave it to Finn Delaney. He had an open shot, put it on the floor, had another chance for a shot, then tried to pass and make another pass that got picked off. The way they didn't get a shot off, to lose by a point and you didn't get a shot off, they'll be very, very annoyed at themselves. And I'm just not seeing enough from Adelaide. I thought they didn't play a terrible game against Brisbane. Brisbane was just the better side. But I think there's something missing from Adelaide at the moment. Ramon Moore being gone for the rest of the season, and probably I would suggest that we may not see him in the league again.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you that, actually. I wanted to know your thoughts on that because, you know, like at his best, well, he was the best sixth man in the league. He was brilliant and he was a fantastic boy. And he's been a stalwart for Adelaide. I think he's been great. I just can't see how he will come back, and I don't know if any other team will pick him up.
No, I don't think so. I think that right now that's one of the problems that Adelaide faces is that it goes in against, say, a Cairns or even a New Zealand who've got, you know, Scotty Hobson, Sek Henry and Brandon Ashley, three terrific imports. You look at Cairns and you go in and you've got basically Jerome Randall, who's, you know, there most of the time and doing the little flashy things. You've got Eric Griffin, who was terrible two games ago, was very good offensively in the last game. And there's no third person, but you don't know what you're going to get on a consistent basis. And that's why I've called them untrustworthy and why I think New Zealand will beat them.
Yeah, New Zealand will win that for me. Adelaide, when I'm watching Adelaide now, I say that's the best they are.
Yeah.
You know, with what they've got. Can they be better? No, with that team. You'd have to have that team, a number of players have career years. That's asking a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I'm disappointed that Anthony Drumick hasn't been a little bit better. He's been good in some games. He's been very good in some games, but he's also been disappearing in a few others. Obiche, you know, as a rookie, I think he's probably had a fair year, but you're starting guys like him because you can't play Eric Griffin because he gets in early foul trouble. Brendan Teese is out there, you know, at this stage in his career, if he's a starter, well, your team's probably not going to make it. And that's no offense to Brendan. He does a great job, but
they're all role players.
Role
players is what you're saying. And they play a fantastic role in everyone. You think of all the greatest teams, they have greatest role players. And for me, that's what I see. Now, the next game. Can Cairns beat Illawarra, buddy?
They lost to them three times. Isn't that amazing? The Cairns would have 10 losses and three of those would be to Illawarra. Illawarra's got 5 wins. 3 of them are over Cairns.
Unbelievable.
So you'd have to sort of, on that, you'd go, well, the Hawks will go in there full of belief, full of confidence that they can get them. They've beaten them there this season. But I also think at this particular point, as their last home game of the regular season, the Taipans will be up and at it. And they'll really want to not just win the game, but make a statement. So I can't see past Cairns.
Yeah, no, they need to keep that third spot and they're going to go there. Brisbane versus Melbourne. Look, another one where we spoke about it before. Who knows what's going to happen with Melbourne? Brisbane seem to be rolling nicely. Lamanis has got his starters set. I think they'll get that done at home because there's still a lot riding on it for Brisbane. They need to keep win because you know New Zealand are going to be right there.
Right, and that's exactly why I think they'll win as well. I mean, Melbourne's under the same pressure. They've got to be winning games, but they're just you're just not seeing enough. And in the manner in which they lose and the body language and all those extra little things, you're just not seeing a group that's on the same page. All right, let's focus, guys. Let's go for it. You know, that should have happened weeks ago, and it hasn't.
We go over to Sunday and there's another doubleheader, Illawarra versus New Zealand.
Hey, don't miss the top Perth.
I was coming back to that. Okay, we'll go there Saturday night, 8 p.m. I was going to talk about that last one versus
You know he forgot. Listeners, you know he forgot. Yeah, go on.
I'm going to get 30 emails. Oh, 31, Timsy. This is the game.
Yes, it is.
Perth versus Sydney. You could argue that whoever wins this could win the championship because they'll probably get home court advantage.
That's a good argument.
For me, number one, is Andrew Bogut's back as bad as it looks? Number two, how's he going to be on that flight over there? Number three, Miles Plumley is humming. Now, I know they're playing on Wednesday in Melbourne. Forget that. This is Saturday. They've got plenty of rest. There's no problems there. Perth are going to come firing for this game. I think they're going to get it.
I've actually got them winning it as well. That Plumley-Bogut duel is pivotal, obviously. And you've got Casper Ware. He has to play the way he did against Melbourne, where he was back to his best after terrible shooting woes for weeks. But he looked himself against United. He needs to do the same thing against Perth because you know Casper Ware, Bryce Cotton, sorry, is definitely going to be bringing it.
Oh, yeah.
That's a heck of a good game there. You know, Nick Kay, Jay Sean Tate. Some nice matchups, Terrico White, Brad Newley. There's a lot of good things going on in that game.
Well, just to set the scene for our listeners, Sydney at the moment, 25 games they've played, so there's three left. They're 18-7. Perth are at 24 games, but would have had another game by the time Sydney get. Let's just assume Perth win that. They're 17-8, would go to 18-8, and so would Sydney. So they'd be drawn.
Mm.
So massive weekend for Perth. They drop both. Cairns can then look for a second spot. Like it's just unbelievable, which I don't
see. It is unbelievable. That is crazy.
Yeah, it's and let's be honest, when you look at this at the beginning of the season, you say, well, Perth are going to have to play Melbourne United on the road and then back up against Sydney at home. Could they lose both? The answer is absolutely they could.
Yes. Yep.
So cannot wait to see these games. So you're Perth.
I'm Perth, but I'm looking at what Sydney's got left afterwards. They've got Phoenix and Illawarra. You'd expect them to win both of those. Perth have got Brisbane and Adelaide. So Perth has still got the tougher road home, but then you might say going into the playoffs, you want tougher games. So, interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Then we can go over to Sunday now, Illawarra versus New Zealand. That's just a must win for New Zealand. We say it all the time, and I think they'll get it.
Yeah, I do too. I just don't. I think Illawarra is just sort of on the bones of its backside at the moment and just waiting for the season to finish. What we're seeing is some great minutes in the kids, getting into the kids. So that's a good sign for them. But, yeah, they're done. They're not spoiling anybody's season.
Agreed. Sunday, last game of the round, Adelaide versus Phoenix. Toss a coin. It depends who shows up. That's as simple as it is. Both of these teams have been, their good is so good, but their bad is so bad.
Well, Phoenix will show up because Mitch Creek will be wanting, he's just come off a 32-point career high game in a 1-point loss to Cairns. He'll be up for this. But this could be a totally dead rubber in terms of if Adelaide's lost to New Zealand. I mean, we know the Phoenix are gone, so it may end up being kind of meaningless, in which case those are other factors like the way Adelaide handled Creek, et cetera, that might come into play. I expect Adelaide to win, but, I say that with no confidence. How about yourself?
I'm going for the Phoenix on the back of Creek. That's all I can say. Phoenix on the back of Creek is going to want to go to work. Remembering, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he miss the little left-handed runner in Adelaide last time?
Yep.
So, nah, Phoenix to win it for me.
Here comes Nudge's Nasty.
What's your nasty?
Well, look, I've got to say I'm really, really, really disappointed with the WNBL that it took no action against Melbourne Boomers Sophie Cunningham after she had the incident with Keely Froling, which broke Keely's nose and fractured a cheekbone. And that was, nothing, not a thing, not even a slap on the wrist or nothing. WNBL was silent, and then they gave her some piddly penalty for the hip and shoulder that she did on Madison Rochi, which basically amounts to nothing. And I just think this really exposed the WNBL as still being amateur hour, and Basketball Australia as the overlords is still being amateur hour. It's like, if you want to be treated like a major sport, act like a major sport, face up to the things that are there and deal with them. It's almost like they just slunk off into a corner. Maybe if we say nothing, this will all just go away. It was absolutely amateur hour. It was a pathetic performance by the WNBL, and it should be absolutely ashamed of itself.
Well, I can't disagree with you. It shocks me. We spoke last week and we thought something was going to happen and something should happen, and it didn't. So, slap across the wrist for the WNBL.
Rosen's Rattler.
Well, my Rosen Rattler this week actually goes out to the Indigenous round. Obviously, the Indigenous round is starting tonight in Melbourne. And I just reckon the round will obviously recognise and acknowledge all the Indigenous culture and basketball across Australia and New Zealand. And I just think it's a wonderful thing that I think from memory, Illawarra started this a few years ago. Paddy Mills was a very big backer of it. I know Tyson Demos had a lot to do with it. And for the league to establish this and have the rounds, I love all these new singlets that are coming out. I love the, what was the one where they had the cartoon characters recently? I thought that was great. Looney Tunes, and I love that. Then I look at the Indigenous round and I love their singlets. I think, the Breakers have done an amazing singlet. I do like Adelaide's as well. I thought that looks good, but... yeah, just to me, I just think I love the different things that the NBL is doing, the different flavours. They add singlets, they have Indigenous round, they respect people. The Kings actually had their Indigenous game, not last round, the round before, at home, because they don't have a home game this round. And I was there commentating, and I thought it was great. They really recognised it well, and kudos to them, well done.
Yep, and kudos Bank Arena was where it happened too. Interesting coincidence. I think it's a good thing. I said to you, if you want to do dad jokes,
you're the king.
Anyway, no, I just think I agree with you. That's a really, really good initiative. I'd also like the fact that they do branch out and give different merchandising ideas with different sorts of uniforms for people to wear. It's a good thing. But acknowledging our Indigenous population and its contribution to basketball is a hugely good thing.
Well, Boddy, I want to talk about your round 17 player of the week, BoddyNage.com, BotiNagy.com.
It's time to go.
The greatest writer in the world. Okay. It's not time to go. I'm going to spend some time. Lamar Patterson, flat-out baller, flat-out player. What does Miles Plumlee have to do to get an MVP from Boddy?
Well, no, the thing, I acknowledge Miles' performance. It was fantastic. It was my highlight of the week. But what Lamar did was he averaged 28 points and a bunch of other great stats over the course of two important wins that put Brisbane into the four. So I don't think you can just dismiss that and go, oh, yeah, that's okay. Because you start to get the same with Lamar as we are with Bryce Cotton, where he'll have a 23.4 assist game and we'll just go, oh, yeah, that's nice. That's a good performance. Whereas, you know, if Joe Schmo does that, we're going to do flips and jump all over ourselves. So I think you've got to acknowledge the greats when they do great things. And Lamar Patterson did great things in those two games. And that's why Brisbane's in the four now. So on that note, goodbye, Brad.
I can't argue with that. The Messiah has let us know. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Obviously, it's been a very tough couple of days in the basketball world. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the Bryant family. It's been shocking. As we know, the NBL will honour Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi this round. And I know all our listeners out there gets goosebumps, and what a shame it's been. But I want to thank everyone for listening. Subscribe, like and review us. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Not to mention the best writer in the block, BOTINAGY.com. BoddyNodge.com. Great articles. Boddy, thanks so much for another Pleasure. Great week.
Pleasure. Look forward to the next one.
See you next week, all.